Season 6, Episode 11, The Big Bang Theory.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do we think Chuck Lorre was writing The Big Bang Theory when he was watching this episode?
No, I don't. I think Chuck Lorre
He was watching this episode. I was like, I got an idea about four nerds who can't get any pussy.
He may have done that, but if he did, his shows would actually be funny.
Jeez. Unnecessary heat.
Anyway, The Big Bang Theory. It opens up with Danny working on a car with his blowhard friend, Joey.
Why are you already coming in hot with the hatred towards Joey?
I don't like Joey. I think Joey is very annoying. Joey is one of those dudes, and this is what I attribute it to. Joey's one of those dudes that's like, I'm funny because I'm loud. And it's
okay,
like,
but Kirk,
no, you're
but
not,
Kirk.
Though.
But Kirk, to not give away the whole, like, episode.
Uh-huh.
We've come to find out that dude got some problems.
He's got a lot of problems. He's got himself a big old bunch of problems.
Maybe what we're seeing isn't his, like, normal self. Maybe we're seeing crazy Joey. Not to give anything away.
But, okay, so what... Him and Danny are working on this car. He opens up about how he wants to assault somebody on his bus because he's a bus driver. He's a modern-day Batman that works for the bus company.
Busman. We call him Busman. Modern-day Busman.
He's like Keanu Reeves in Speed.
Just 10 times more handsome.
He clearly has a drinking problem because he's drinking on his lunch break, which, I mean, come on. It's not the 1960s or 50s. You don't drink on your lunch break. Drink as soon as you get off, like a fucking adult.
Like a man does. You can't hold off for 8 hours like a man?
Danny is like, get yourself a couple of slices and a coffee before you go to work. And there's moments when they're talking to each other where this dude is like, clearly has no control over his anger.
Uh-huh.
But I also don't know if it's just bad acting or not.
I mean, that might be a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah.
He's clearly unhinged. I mean, the only thing I know is that he's not funny. Because he's like, I'm going to go to somewhere and get my two slices. And he's like, from that cheap bastard who just used the coffee from last night because he refuses to make some. It's like, just fucking go. Just go.
Yeah, it's really weird that he tries to, like, rhyme for a second. Like, especially after, like, it seems like him and Danny are about to, like, fist fight each other. And then he just all of a sudden drops a beat and is, like, rhyming to him about eating slices and drinking coffee.
It's a real John Cena move of him.
That dude could look like John Cena's, like, thinner, smaller brother.
He does look like a emaciated, sad, drunk New York John Cena. You're right.
Yeah, better than fucking, closer to being brothers than John Cena and fucking Vin Diesel, for fuck's sake.
We gotta keep talking about this fucking episode. And stop comparing Fast and the Furious.
There's a murder in this episode.
There is a murder. We're getting to it. After...
Yeah, we have random ass two openings.
Yeah, it's weird. The opening kind of should have ended with Joey Dwyer, played by D.B. Sweeney, who you may remember from absolutely fucking nothing, according to IMDb, because he only has one known for, and it's something I've never heard of.
What is it?
He has one known for The Cutting Edge.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
The next scene in this opening, Sipowicz and Danny go to a apartment building with a dead woman who was clearly beaten and strangled. They're kind of looking through the place, and the person who found him was this jogger in the middle of her fitness regime.
Trying to keep it tight, guys.
You gotta keep it tight. Keep it right.
High and tight.
Keep it tight.
Keep it tight. High and tight, baby. High and tight.
One woman is creeping around, keeps looking at everybody, and Sipowicz makes a joke, essentially saying, that and a cup of coffee in the morning will get you out faster, basically saying she's an ugly-ass bitch.
Yeah, like, What?
Sorry. It broke Kyle.
Yeah, because, like, I just watched it, and the first thing that came to my head was, like, what did she do to deserve that? This episode should have been entitled Heat. Because that's all Sid Voice is bringing the whole time.
Just bringing that heat.
Because Danny, if as soon as the elevator doors open, like, Danny, he's giving Danny shit about the elevators and not getting off.
Yep, that's right.
Like, all this shit. He's, like, bringing heat all day.
Maybe it could just be, like, kind of, Sipowicz was having a little bit of an antsy morning. Maybe he was a little uppity, you know? Maybe just throwing it at everybody. Because he's had those mornings before, or those whole days.
But as the episode plays out, we come to find out he has nothing going on.
But it is pretty great. It's absolutely great how they're looking over this dead woman, clearly strangled, clearly beaten, and spoiler alert, the woman that's being a creep is heavily involved with what happened, and she comes around the corner to stare at the cops, and Sipowicz is just like, look at this uggo over here.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. Not like, hey, we should probably talk to her, because she seems heavily interested in what's going on. But that's the beginning of the episode, and this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue.
Anyways, back to Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Jim Parsons. So Sheldon walks in on Kelly Cuoco's character in a kind of a predicament, Kirk.
Anyway, we get back from the break. Sipowicz catches his breath downstairs, which it was Sipowicz trying to figure out what's going on with Danny. And it's pretty clear that Danny just quickly talks about his fucked up vet buddy. Danny's like, I'll talk to him when we head up to our reserve duty. We're gonna go help kids train or some bullshit.
Well, he's helping train people to pass like an M16 course, and the other dude, because he's like a mechanic, he has to do fucking 40 Humvee oil changes over the weekend or something like that. Which doesn't seem like a lot unless he's the only one doing them. But, like, I don't think he's the only person doing it, you know?
Well, maybe it's because even the army knows that he's a drunk fuck-up, and they're like, well, we're not letting him near guns. Like, you can sit by the Humvees.
I'm sure.
But it also highlights something that Danny does, where he talks out what he's going to do and then thanks Andy for advice. Like, Andy doesn't say anything, but he's just like, I'm going to do this, and then we're going to meet up this weekend, and then I'm going to talk to him there. Okay, thanks, Andy. And then, like, walks away, and Andy didn't do anything.
But Andy got the info he wanted.
They go back upstairs. Medavoy and Martinez are running down what they have for Fancy. Basically, it was a woman in the apartment building. She was beaten and strangled. Russell and Kirkendall mentioned that the woman was on a fixed income from the state for some shit.
Oh, she's on a fixed income because her husband died. And fucked up the life insurance stuff, and so she was just basically collecting Social Security and, like not able to do anything, you know?
There was a very, like, callous joke that I didn't write the beginning of, but Russell said, like, oh, most people didn't see much of her, and then Sipowicz said, well, no, they won't be seeing any of her at all. And it's like...
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
When it's like, oh, cool, Sip.
Yeah, just being a fucking dick.
They leave the room after talking with Fancy. They're going to canvas some more, do some looking at some other shit. And Kirkendall and Russ show that Dolores is waiting for the young, attractive detective.
With the hair,
and...
Because Sipowicz is a bald fuck.
Because Sipowicz is an ugly, bald fucker. Because I think she heard. I think she overheard in that apartment somehow. So she's like, fuck that dude. But when... Danny goes to approach her, she, like, starts fake sobbing and wants to be sequestered.
Yeah, this bitch is crying the whole time.
She's like, I want to talk to you because you're in touch with your bodily desires, because apparently you need to get boners to talk to this lady. And she's like, oh, well, there's a tenant in 3B that you better talk to. It's, and then she's like, yeah, it's a dude named Raul. He's been fucking me. And he's been fucking everybody in the building. It's clear that she's only hurt that Raul was actually fucking other chicks instead of just her. And then at the end of pointing out who it is, she's like, yeah, you should look hard at him and give him a good beating.
Yeah, not suspicious at all.
When Danny gets back to the desk, Sipowicz is like, you know, if I was drunk, I'd fuck her. It's like, no one asked.
Yeah, dude, like, again, what?
I think it's because she fucking swerved on him when she came in. She's like, I don't want to talk to your fat, ugly ass. I want to talk to the young kid. And then he's like, well, I'd fuck you if I was drunk.
Yeah. Who would want to talk to him, though? Like, he just seems mad all the time. Again, what does she deserve? What has she done to deserve any of this?
Well, we're talking about Caroline Aaron, who plays Doris Steinman. And I'd like to say I recognize her in something. I don't. She's been in a bunch of shit that I don't remember seeing, so.
She's a character actor. She's in a lot of different things, but you're right. I can't put a name on those things, but.
And then one of the best jokes of the entire episode, at least my opinion, Danny's like, she says Raul's been fucking everybody in the building, and he, and Sipowicz kind of shrugs and goes, that's a big building. Also, this begins the phone calls that Danny's getting that I don't understand.
Okay. It's coming from his friend, right?
I don't know. I thought it was coming from someone complaining about his friend, but how would they get his number specifically?
So that's what I'm saying. I think it's coming from his friend, and his friend is just, like, talking and saying weird shit.
But then why would he...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 100% you're right.
Because why would he talk to his own friend like that, where he's like, oh, well, you don't think I can figure out who this call is and jam you up? Like, it has to be someone who's not his friend, but it doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so I didn't write it down. I should have, but, you know, fuck it. But, so the timeline that I remember in my head is he gets one phone call, he acts weird. He gets a second phone call, he acts weird. And then he gets a third one?
No, he just gets two.
Okay, so he gets those two phone calls, and then after that he says he's taking lost time. And what if those phone calls are coming from the guy that he kidnapped, and he, like, made him call Danny while he's holding a gun to him or something?
Okay, maybe, but that's still fucking weird bananas.
Kirk, okay, then what's weirder, that Danny just gets two random phone calls that we never hear about ever again?
It has to have something to do with his buddy Joey, but it doesn't make any sense, because it's not Joey who's calling him, but then why would Joey make the dude he kidnapped call him?
In the earlier conversations, Danny was so adamant about him not doing anything, and him not taking care of anything, and just being like, you know, you better go chill out, go eat your fucking pizza and coffee, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's his friend who's, we are kind of seeing that he's a little bit of a Looney Tune, and maybe it's his weird way of, like, being, him in his head being like, I'm gonna make him call Danny and show Danny, and fucking show Danny that, like, look what I did. And it's just, like, the guy freaking out on the phone and Danny being like, who the fuck is this? Like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, dude. I don't know, because there's no answers.
Yeah, yours...
It's like a paint-your-own-fucking adventure book.
Yeah, it's like a paint-your-own-adventure book. What we all had as kids.
Everything I want out of a TV show. I want them to let me choose how the story's going to end.
So, Danny says he's going to take some lost time. He gets some Sipowicz advice on what to tell Fancy. But Fancy never gave a fuck, it seems.
It's weird, though, like, Fancy does give a fuck, though, because he starts pressing everyone else, like, hey, do you know what's up with that lost time? And I don't know if it's because Danny's so weird about it, but, like...
It seems like the way Fancy operates is he doesn't ask questions about the lost time, but he does ask questions of other people because he figures they'll let them know. Like, oh, he'll let his partner know why he's taking the lost time.
True.
So he's like, I'm not going to pressure him with what it is, just make sure that he goes. But Danny makes it fucking weird because he's like, he's super awkward about fucking everything because he's still relatively new.
Yeah, I forgot how new he was because, like, when he asks Sipowicz, like, oh, how does the boss feel about you taking Lost Time, blah, blah, blah. I thought about it. I was like, wait, oh, yeah, that's right. He hasn't been here that long.
Just the way he did it made Fancy like, well, do you need any help? And he's like, no, 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 I just have something that I need to take care of. And he's like, okay. All right.
Yeah, normally when you say, like, you have some, like, I don't know, just my rule as, like, a manager, right? If someone, like, calls me or calls and is like, hey, I can't come to work today, like, or I have to leave, I got something personal. The more information they give, the more I feel like they're just lying to me.
That makes sense.
Especially when he does something like, when Fancy goes, do you need any help? And his response is like, no, 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 it should only take a couple hours and I'll be good for tomorrow. It's like, that's not at all what I asked you. Like, I don't know, care, like, if it's an emergency, how do you know it's only going to take this long?
If they have specifics, then it's clearly not something that just came up, so, yeah, I get you.
I think it's oversharing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've taken so little time off, it's always been for a sickness, most of the time. But even when I have vacations, it's always like, I explain what it is, but I'm not explaining anything beyond that. It's like, yeah, I have to travel to here. It's going to take this many days. That's it. So when we cut back to Danny, he's now in the garage where he was working on the car with Joey. And Joey kidnapped the dude on the bus.
And he put a welder's helmet on him?
And put him in the trunk. But I did want to talk about my favorite unintentionally, because he's doing a lot of dumb shtick and saying a lot of dumb fucking stuff, like where he's like putting on a show and like, I'm crazy, I kidnapped a guy, I'm the Joker.
Okay, obviously he's dealing with something mentally, but like, yeah. I don't understand what. Yeah. The little bit I know about PTSD is it doesn't make you fucking turn into like Carrot Top. You know what I mean?
So, but there's one piece of dialogue that's unintentionally funny that I was like, that's the funniest thing this dude does in this entire episode, where he's like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I left my bus on the curb. And he's like, there'll be other buses. And then Danny's like, what's that in your hand? And then Joey pulls out a gun and he goes, that would be a weapon. just the way he says it, that would be a weapon. A firearm. And I was like, that's great. that would be a weapon.
Do we have to assume that he's also drunk?
A little bit. We think he's a little bit drunk.
He says, I think during this time, because then after this, I'm not trying to jump ahead, after this he calls Siplets and Siplets shows up.
Yeah.
But I think at this time there's a point where he starts, like, he keeps talking about how he wants to kill himself.
Yeah, he puts the gun to his head. After Danny tries to kind of, like, de-escalate the situation. He just puts the gun to his own head.
He says something like, hey, give me the gun. And he goes, no, I need this. I'm not going to remember the quote. But it's a stupid fucking quote. Because he says something along the lines like, oh, no, I need this starter pistol for when for when it's time for me to blow my brains out.
Yeah.
And in my head, it's like, well, that wouldn't be a starter pistol. Because you're not starting anything. You're ending it.
It'd be an ending pistol.
This dude constantly talks about shooting himself. But like, what? This dude constantly, like, in another scene, like, when Sipwitz shows up, like, we can go back to and describe how he gets there. But there's this point where, like, he puts the gun to his head, and he says, like, he basically says, like, I'm not gonna blow my brains out. He's like, I want to blow my brains out, but I can't because knowing that this guy is alive disgusts me or something. And it's like, so then do you really want to blow your brains out? Or, like, because if this dude's existence is keeping you from doing that, you really don't want to kill yourself.
It's also like, hey, can we get some consistency out of you? Do you want to kill yourself? Do you not? Get it together, buddy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, when you cut back to the house, and Sipwitz is like, do you know where this guy is? To Russell and Kirkendall? And he's like, they're like, no. He's like, he's in a quagmire. And then
Family Guy's already out by then?
Raul comes in. He was sent in by Dolores. Or Doris? Yeah, Doris. He was sent in by Doris. And he makes eyes at Kirkendall and Russell. And Sibwood says, eyes up front before you fracture your skull. And I was like, that's a pretty deep threat.
Now, Now, I was going to say, is that because Sipowicz is saying he's going to hit him, or because he's looking back and walking, he's going to run into something?
Well, people don't typically fracture their skulls running into doors, unless they're not actually running into doors and getting beat up by their husbands.
Never say never, dude. Like, you're not a doctor. Like, you don't know how many skull fractures out there are by doors.
Doors. They're a menace. They're a menace against skulls.
Like, are we talking doors, like, you know, the things that, like, are part of rooms and houses, or are we talking about the music and the band?
That'll fracture some skulls. Sipowicz brings Raul into an interrogation room. He's asking him if he's been casual with some of the women in the building. And Raul's like, look, Doris has it in for me. Sipowicz makes a joke about his love wand, if he put his love wand into the DOA. And he admits he slept with a lot of women, but never her. Sipowicz then says, so you're banging the entire building, but not the DOA? And the guy says, it's a big building. And Sipowicz agrees with him, and I was like, this joke has legs.
Yeah, they run to the well on that one a lot.
And he says, it's a big building, it's unrealistic. I made love to about 10 women, but none of them. And Sipowicz says, okay, and gives him a handshake, and then he's like, would you like some nuts?
Yeah. Random. But then they, like, clear it up a little bit.
But he gives him the nuts, and Sipowicz, literally holding a bag of nuts, says, thank you for my force for these nuts. Sipowicz comes back down into the bullpen. Russell makes fun of Rahul by giving it a real intense flourish. And Sipowicz is like, it could go either way with that guy, but he gave me nuts. And then right after he's noticed the nuts, Iris comes in, Raul's wife.
I didn't hear the Google Doll song. Sorry.
No, not the Google Doll. Sorry, Kyle.
I'm pretty proud of that one. That one made me laugh.
Look, that joke is so embarrassing, I don't want the world to see me. I don't think they'd understand. Iris Montez comes in for Russell because Russell left her card under her door. And everybody starts freaking out because they're like, oh my god, did they come in together? What's the deal? What happened? Fancy, at this time, asks about the lost time for Danny, for which Sipowicz doesn't have any idea. But Russell and Kirkendall tries to get some info out of Iris. They think maybe she's being manipulated by her husband.
They think it's a game. I think they're running games on each other. Or they're running a game on the cops. Or, like, the cops think they may either working together because they just can't fathom him coming into the station, or him going out of the station, or coming in and then not running into each other. There's only one small staircase, you know?
There's an awkward moment where Russell and Kirkendall are talking to Iris. They're asking if she's had any weirdness in the building, if she suspects her husband knows the DOA. And then she says, well, my husband's busy with his nuts. And they're like, what? He's like, oh, he sells nuts. And you're like, oh, he's a nut salesman. And then she said, yeah, he's active in the building selling his nuts. And I know the writers knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, for sure.
When they made that...
Six white dudes in a room dying laughing, high-fiving.
Selling his nuts! Just high-fives.
And we can say nuts as much as we want, because it's referring to, like, real nuts.
But we're talking about blowing it.
But, you know, we're talking about our testicles.
They thank Iris, and they say, you know, don't be scared or worried to talk to us, and she leaves. Kirkendall and Andy try to figure out the situation. Well, Russell, too. They try to figure out why they came in the way they did. Did they come in together? Did they miss each other? And then Sipowicz gets a call from Danny.
Yeah.
Sipowicz then gets really passive-aggressive about Danny getting involved in this situation as if he had any choice in the matter.
Well, if you haven't learned, Kirk, if you haven't learned, with this partner, it's not like a friend, it's not like mutual friends, like we're grown-ups. No, 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 this is like a father-son situation. He's more of a mentor. He's not working with the detective as like he was with Bobby. or Caruso. No. He has to teach.
What I did find funny with that call, besides the passive aggression, was that Sipowicz spilled Coke on himself. I don't know if that was planned or not. It doesn't seem like it was planned.
But it gave you a little chuckle.
But yeah, because it was like, if he didn't plan that, that'd be hilarious. Just like he spilled it on himself, but kept the scene going.
Could you say it tickled your nuts a little bit?
Well, yeah, it tickled me nuts.
Did you get those nuts from Raul?
No, I don't. I'm not a big fan of Raul's nuts. They're too salty. when they cut back to the repair shop, Danny is trying to get Joey out of the car because he's laying in the car with the dude who was groping people. I just wrote down that he's being textbook crazy. Danny tries to convince him, like, this can be fixed, and then he taps his own head and says, this cannot be fixed. And then Andy comes in, he shouts for him, so he lets Andy in, and Andy gets the rundown of what's going on.
Well, he also tells Andy on the phone before he gets in that he has to come in as a civilian, like a passive civilian or something. He's like, just come in, like, you announce yourself as a regular civilian or something. And as soon as Andy gets there, fucking Sorensen goes, oh, this is my partner. Like, this is, he's a cop. And I was like, well, then why did you tell him on the phone to come in as something else?
And what's great is he comes in, he's like, so this is, this is my partner Andy, Joey. And he's like, hi, Joey Dwyer. And then Simmons is like, let's not be getting into each other's last names.
Oh, and the best part is when he walks in, the dude is standing there with a gun to his throat. And he's like making a face where he's like, he comes up and Simmons just walks in at the first fucking thing he sees. It's just a lunatic standing there with a gun to his neck, like hunched over, like looking at him like a psycho.
And then Sipowicz, like I wrote, Sipowicz then gets passive aggressive with the suicidal guy.
Yeah, dude. He obviously did not go to that day of training.
Where?
On how to deal with like a jumper and shit.
Because he was like, I thought your dude was a stand-up guy. Now he's look at him. Now he's making this big like scene of himself.
Danny, I thought this was your friend. He's acting like a real fucking asshole.
Yeah, funny.
Almost ruining your life over here, being a big old bitch.
and then
out of... He said he was in the service, this little fucking pussy.
This piece of shit. Well, what's very weird is then he's like, he's jumping around like that exercise, quote-unquote, fruit.
Yeah, again, this is when I started taking notes. unnecessary heat for Richard Simmons.
Like Richard Simmons got both barrels for no reason in the middle of this episode.
Do I understand why Richard Simmons is hated by Sipowicz? 100%.
Yeah, I get it.
For Sipowicz, yeah. I get why Sipowicz's character would hate Richard Simmons. Get it. And then the dude gets mad. Because he says something like, oh, you like that exercise fruit. And he goes like, what'd you say?
Well, he goes like, what'd you say? And then he says, you know, the guy with the curly hair that's crying with all the fat people because they're losing weight.
On TV, yeah.
And then Joey Dwyer, he starts laughing. And then his laugh...
Why do you keep calling him Joey Dwyer?
Because I refuse to call an adult man Joey unless I include his last name. To be honest, when I first watched the scene and he said that quote unquote exercise fruit, I was like, who? Because like it didn't even register as a slur for someone who's gay right away. But then when he described it, I was like, do you mean Richard Simmons? Oh yeah, that's how like people would demean gay people. That's a dumb one.
Maybe because you're younger. As soon as he said that exercise fruit, I knew he was talking about Richard Simmons.
Maybe.
Yeah, there was just like a lot of Richard Simmons hate, and I didn't understand why.
He seemed to try and bring down Joey Dwyer's defenses.
And after he ridiculed him?
Yeah, basically, I'm gonna roast this dude into calming down.
After he negged the shit out of him?
The last thing we see of them before we cut to Fancy's office for a great scene, Joey is laughing at what Sipowicz said, and then he starts crying. Can't control his emotions. Clearly something wrong. We cut to Fancy's office, where Doris shows up.
Real quick. Sorry, and then you can go to the fancies real quick. There is a for you. You know how you said that there was a funny thing that Joey Dwyer said earlier. Yeah. Okay, so for me, during that scene with Sipowicz, there was a spot where you got me calling him fucking Joey Dwyer. There's a spot where Joey Dwyer, Sipowicz is like fucking screaming at him, like, you know, like, we're gonna figure this out, like screaming at him. And then he goes, so like, hey, do you want to try to figure this out? And Joey like takes a minute, looks at him and goes this. And he's like, what do you got in mind? But it was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this dude's on the verge of killing himself, so that's holding someone hostage to, like, being, like, fucking Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Like, what the fuck is going on?
He turned into Matthew Lillard. So when we cut to Fancy's office, Doris is sneaking around, because there's no Dolores. There's no Dolores to like hold off the crazies. Doris comes into Fancy's office and she's asking about Danny, and only wants to talk to him. Then
who wouldn't want to talk to that piece of meat?
Those nice blue eyes. She then starts crying, then starts like losing it, saying that she saw Raul fucking the DOA. Coins were sticking to her legs.
This lady is always crying, dude.
Yeah,
it's like no offense, like you walked in on two people fucking, like get over it.
Yeah, it turns out the pretty attractive coxman that's been fucking the whole place was fucking people other than you. And like, in theory,
just be happy, like he's giving you some too. You know what I mean?
And in theory, she's paying for it, right?
I think so. I think they're paying him somehow, but I think he's disguising it as nuts.
Well, they're paying for nuts, but they're not paying for nuts. But
I think they're paying for nuts.
But the thing,
but he's throwing in an extra side of nut.
But the thing is, I don't understand why you could be so upset if you're paying that dude to bone you. If other people are paying him to bone them. Like, it makes no sense to be upset about that.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's just basically a transaction like at a supermarket. like the only thing you should be upset with is if it didn't taste good, or if it, like, you didn't get out of it what you wanted.
You should only be upset if the nuts were bad.
But that's like me going to the supermarket, right? Buying like a bag of spinach, and then when another lady buys a bag of spinach and eats it, me getting fucking furious,
and then murdering the lady, and then murdering the manager,
and murdering her because she enjoyed that bag of spinach.
I did want to mention, I like this scene because this woman's obviously crazy, because now she's bringing up this crucial information that should have been said earlier. She 100%. She keeps trying to touch Fancy and, like, hold his hands, and Fancy's being, like, as professional as possible. And she keeps bringing up the banging and seeing it, and then Fancy's like, did you hear or see him kill her? And she's like, well, the way she was whooping it up, it sounded like she was dying. And she's like, she's saying this right next to Fancy, and Fancy stood up and he's like, I'm gonna write down some information here at my desk. You're gonna sit there. And that was like my favorite. That was like my favorite thing. Where he's like, you're moving too much. You're touching me too much. You sit there and stop moving.
I got annoyed with this scene because I felt like, why are we entertaining crazy?
Oh yeah, they are, man. And he,
like, why do you guys keep entertaining this crazy lunatic? No one else in the squad that can, like, stop Fancy and be like, hey, like, I don't think we really need to talk to this bitch because she's kind of a fucking lunatic.
She refused to talk to Kirkendall, who takes a moment to look at Fancy after she leaves the office and gives kind of like a, you see this bitch? And Fancy gives, like, the same face.
Because she's got them Kirkendalls.
Kirkendalls!
She's making, what's her name, a little jelly.
Little peanut butter and jelly.
And then, like, she probably hates Diane Russell because she's, like, 20 years younger and mildly attractive. You know what I mean? But she's over there looking like a dog.
Hey, but if Sipowicz was drunk, he'd fuck her. So,
you know, dude, a little booze, I think Sipowicz would fuck anything.
A little booze, Sipowicz would murder people.
I'm sorry, we've learned without booze, Sipowicz would murder people.
We leave that, because she just wants them to go after Raul, that's the point. It cuts back to the garage, Sipowicz and Danny and the Groper and Joey Dwyer are sitting in that garage. Sipowicz sits up the Groper, and he's like, here's what we're gonna do. And he comes up with a story where he's like, you had the gun on the bus. You were trying to let the bus driver know. He pulled over to see what you were talking about. You freaked out and ran off. He went to run after you to figure out what the deal is. You both came to us to work it all out because you knew that having an unregistered firearm buys you a year of prison time. And that's the story we're going with.
Okay. Sipowicz is a cop.
Yep.
Isn't that story fucking ridiculous?
It's pretty ridiculous, but it also...
And you don't think that if some dude walked up to Sipowicz and was like, you're not going to believe this story, and tells Sipowicz the story, Sipowicz is not going to look him in the eyes and be like, someone's fucking with you. Someone is lying. Someone was doing some weird-ass shit.
But I think what they're relying on is the fact that two cops are going to say it. That's how it went. Even though it's clearly a lie, if you just have two cops saying it, they'll be like, well, okay. Sounds good.
It's like, it's crazy, I feel like.
Like, he gives that story, and then he takes the tape off the guy, and the guy's like, maybe you'll just eat me. And Sipowicz is like, believe me, man, if we were cannibals, this whole situation would be so much easier.
Yeah, he basically says if we could, we'd kill you and eat you right now. And then, I'm going to deal with all of this.
And he's like, but this situation gets all of us out pretty good with everything. So how about it? And then the guy just stares at him. So then Sipowicz is like, close the trunk, take the car off the pier. And threatening the dude's life. And
it's bananas, dude.
It's pretty out there.
Like I don't give a shit that Sipowicz threatens to put him in a trunk. Like, that's crazy. But Sipowicz has like said threats like that before. I just can't get over the fact that like the story he made up is garbage.
The story he made up is garbage.
It's so bad. Like, and you're a trained cop. Like, that's your job. I don't know.
Well, I love how, like, this is the first time we see Sipowicz seemingly threaten somebody with death that isn't a suspect in anything. You know what I mean? Like, the dude was a groper and a piece of shit. Like, we can all agree, like, that's not cool. But he literally was like, we could just kill the guy. Like, that's not something Sipowicz has ever really done.
Kirk, he left a murder investigation to deal with this.
Well, it's, I mean, he the whole squad the is on it.
He just walked away from it. Did he tell Fancy he was leaving? I don't remember him telling Fancy he was leaving.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, dude, he just walked away from his job to go deal with this, and that was the story he made up.
Well, I mean, he didn't have a lot of time. You know, it's difficult. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
A lot of twists, a lot of shouts.
But after they get the Groper to agree to it, and Sipowicz, like, sits him up and sits next to him. Well, actually, no, he doesn't. He puts it back in the trunk, which makes no sense. He's like, oh, you agree to it? Cool, sit in the trunk. And then they look at they look at Joey, and Joey's like, I got a chorus of vultures in my head! And then Sipowicz is like, well, you can come over and we can compare bird calls. And I was like, what the fuck? What? Quips?
And like...
Jokes?
And would you ever invite that dude over to your house?
No. Not with Sylvia and the baby. Fuck that.
Just hanging out with Leo. Hey, Leo, Uncle Jay's coming over. Uncle Joey's coming over.
You mean Theo?
Theo, why Leo?
Jesus. You call yourself a fan.
I was just watching the Ninja Turtles, my bad.
Oh, I thought you were watching Titanic.
I mean, I'm always dreaming of him.
So, after that, after Sipwood's jokes, Danny tries to hit him in the feelings by saying, like, you're gonna be my best man, our kids were gonna play together, and it's like, if this is your best friend, okay. And, then this Joey character looks like he's about to do it, and Sipwitz and Danny stop him, and then Danny and him hug it out as he's crying, and it's pretty sad.
Crying profusely. Crying in this episode.
When we cut back to the house, Iris is back, husband to Raul, and she's
wife
up
to Raul.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Wife to Raul. Upset at everybody bringing her back in, trying to talk to her again. They're like, look, can you tell us what your husband was doing? We know that he saw the DOA. And she admits, like, yeah, he services the other ladies. And they're like, well, did he seem upset the night that she died? And he's like, yeah, he came in with $23 saying, look what he's done with his life. And I was like, wow. Throwing some dick for 23 bucks and change. That's also a lot of change. That's a lot of change. I don't think people realize how much change that is. Like, if it's all quarters, it's still a lot of fucking change.
Like, did he come and carry in, like, a plastic bag? Or, like...
Was it in, like, an Albertsons bag of just quarters? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, what was he doing, you know?
Did she just give him all of her laundromat money? But, like, it doesn't make any sense. Because they said $23 in coins, and I was like, bullshit. He did not walk in. Like, if he had cargo pants, he'd be jingling. Like, there's no way it's $23 in change.
That's a lot, dude.
That's a lot of change.
That is a lot. You're right. That is a lot of change. I hope he had a sturdy belt.
Sipwitz and Danny come back to the house, and then Danny is like, look, man, I don't want you to think the silent treatment is not me being appreciative. I appreciate what you did. And then they walk in together, and then Raul's back, and he's like, what the fuck, man? Doris is trying to ruin my life.
Yeah.
She's out here spreading lies and
it's
shit.
It's kind of funny.
And Doris is peeking out of one of the other rooms. And they go into Fancy's office, and Fancy, like, seems pissed that they're not there. Like, I don't know if he's, like, legitimately pissed at what they were doing. But,
Yeah, he might be a little bit annoyed because, Sipwitz didn't tell him he was leaving.
So Fancy brings both of them in, and he's like, Doris put Raul with the DOA the night of the death. And you mentioned, like, is anyone telling him to just get rid of that woman? Danny's like, well, I don't think she's really reliable, boss. Fancy lets him know that the wife confirmed that he was with her and that she paid him for sex. And Sipwitz is like, well, did she tell them if he murdered her? And Fancy looks at him and says, he's gonna tell you that. So Sipwitz just leaves. He's like, I'm on it, boss. Fancy looks at Danny and says, you get to talk to the psycho bitch. And Danny's like, I'm pretty sure she's just lying. And he's like, she's gonna tell you that. And then Fancy sits down and is like, I'm fucking done with this shit. You guys take care of it.
Yeah, dude, because they're both lunatics. And they fucking abandoned their jobs. Like, I think that was his way of, like, I'm fucking mad, and so you guys are gonna deal with this to make me happy.
Sipwitz goes into a room with Raul. He confirms, like, hey, so you obviously were boning the DOA. And Sipwitz goes hard on him, because he thinks, like, maybe he did it, you know. Goes after the violence angle, maybe she came at you, maybe she wasn't happy with the services. And he says, look, man, Doris saw because I kept the door open, because I wanted to prevent from actually having sex with her, but then she tempted me with her piggy bank. And Sipwitz is like, and $23 is $23. And the dude kind of gives a nod, like, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And it was a lot of money. And honestly, I thought it was more because it was so much change. You know when you go to Coinstar and you put it in the thing and you're like, I'm going to get so much money and it's only $23? Change doesn't add up that much, brother.
I'm sorry. Okay, like, did I miss something? Did they show how much change he actually got?
No, they just kept... The change just gets brought up by Doris.
Okay.
And then they confirm that it was $23 in change. And his wife said he had $23 in change in his pockets, which is impossible. Unless he had big-ass pockets.
Nah, it's not impossible, dude. Dollar coins, bro.
Were dollar coins big in this year? Was it like 99?
Old people loved change back in the day. Like, they probably had all different types of change.
Danny.
Old people like change, dog.
Danny gets Doris. They walk in and he's just like, sit down. And she's into it because she's a fucking weirdo. And clearly she's playing dumb and the victim. She's like, I wanted to let you know about what happened, but I wanted you to know so you get the credit.
Don't they all, dude? Don't they all?
And then Danny was like, well, why didn't you come to me with this situation or this information sooner? And she's like, I told you to assume they were involved. And he's like, no. Like, he's clearly, like, not even giving her any rope at all. He's just like, fuck you. You're wasting my goddamn time. And he's like, no, you said that I should look into him because he's been boning everybody in the building. And she's like, well, if you didn't think... Hold on. How did she say it? It's something that makes me immediately aggravated, so it's hard for me to remember. She said, essentially, well, if you wanted me to relive that moment, which I didn't want to, then I guess I'm guilty. It's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like, just give me the goddamn information. Nobody cares about your plight. And then Danny's like, well, even with that information, Doris, you're just confirming that the sex was consensual, and we have no reason to believe he'd actually kill her, so all you have is this vengeance angle, so you are what people in my line of work would call a pain in the balls. So she starts crying, and then he's like, you could spare the waterworks, it doesn't matter now. And then she just admits to killing her.
Yeah, like, out of nowhere.
She's just like, okay, I did it.
Okay, so now that this is all over with, and so many fucking NYPD Blue episodes, they always are like, always say like, oh, the person who comes back to the crime scene, or like, always wants to talk about the crime, like, has something to do with it, like, or is like, suspicious, blah, blah, blah. They don't ever suspect this bitch. She comes back all the time with like, more information, this and that, and they never once go like, what's going on?
They don't really.
Like, if this was to happen on anything else, we'd be like, questioning her, wondering why she was hanging around the crime scene. Granted, it was right outside her door, but she was still hanging around it. She like kept creeping out, peeping, seeing what was up, instead of just waiting for them to knock. It's like, and it was just weird. Like, they never once were like going hard on her, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense that they never.
They just thought she was a weirdo. Sorry.
But yeah, they just thought she was a weirdo, and they just figured, oh, she just wants to hurt Raul, not she would want to hurt the woman that she caught Raul fucking. Which makes just as much sense when you think about it. It's also hilarious how she admits it, and Danny just brings out the pad and, like, puts it in front of her, and she's like, manslaughter, right? And he's like, just get it down.
And then they hold each other, like, fucking weird, really awkwardly.
Well, it's because he knew, like, once he gets it down on paper, he's like, fuck this bitch, I never have to talk to her again. So he's like, I'll hold your hand to get you to write the damn thing, and then after that, you're fucking gone.
Yeah, I guess.
But then she's like, yeah, and then Raul's gonna see that I helped him, and then when he's gonna leave that mouse, which, by the way, this is a random detail, Raul's wife, not unattractive.
Yeah, not at all. If anything, Raul's dating up.
Yeah, Raul's got a pretty attractive wife. And she's like, he'll leave that mouse and then he'll be with me. I was like, no, he's never touching yo pussy again. You are done. You and Raul are done, bitch. Like, he is not coming back.
Do we think Raul's wife leaves him too?
I don't know. I mean, he's been getting those $23 bangs. Maybe she loves change.
Yeah, maybe she's like a coin nerd.
She's a coin collector. And she's like, get out there.
He brings him all that change, and she's like, oh my god, a 1975 Kennedy coin.
What was really funny is when he's talking to Sipowicz, and he's like, $23 is $23. At one point, he's like, well, she's confirmed that you fucked her for $23. She's like, hey, $23 is what she had. That's not my fate.
That's not my going rate, yeah.
And then Sibwitz is like,
he's got standards.
And Sibwitz is like, whether or not this was a cut rate hump, like the interviews with Raul were good. Doris was just kind of annoying because she was crazy. She obviously did a good job because she played crazy well.
Yeah, she did a good job being a lunatic.
But I love the idea of Raul's wife go slang that dick so I can get some more coins. Like, just get out there.
And that's why she's okay with it.
Oh man. Anyways, after that, Danny comes back to the desk and Sibwitz is like, "Are you guys gonna elope?" And he's like, "No, me and Raul are gonna fight for her honor after she gets out." And then Sipowicz is like, "You have a message." And Danny's like, "Well, I'm gonna go over to the VA hospital. I'm gonna go talk to him. I'm gonna go talk to Joey." And Sipowicz is like, "No, that's what the message is about." And it turns out Joey fucking bailed, man. Danny freaks out and he gets really angry. He says he's getting stirred up. And when he gets stirred up, he insults Andy, calls him stupid. And Andy gives him a face, and he apologizes immediately. Danny apologizes. And then I wrote Ricky Schroeder gives his Emmy performance.
I wrote Schroeder rage isn't really that scary.
But also, I wrote he gives his Emmy performance in stages. Like, he was trying to run. It looked like, which what I think brings the scene down, if we're going to get technical about his acting prowess and the writing. I think what brings it down, because what Danny does is he's like, he gets angry, then he gets depressed, then he bargains, and then he accepts, all within the span of less than a minute. He goes through the stages of grief so fast with Sipowicz. And it would be a profound moment because he says, like, "Look, you may have a lot of friends, but I don't. And sometimes you lose the people you love." And saying that to Sipowicz is really profound because Sipowicz has lost a lot of fucking people he loves. He lost his own son. So it's like, oh, it would be a good scene if it wasn't Ricky Schroeder trying to get all of his Emmy work in one scene. But I feel like it was also written that way, so I don't know who to blame, really.
There was something I was going to say, but I kind of...
Was it about how Joey just bounced?
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, that dude's dead, right?
I don't know. I think...
No, that dude straight murked himself when he got the chance.
So you think that he got out of the VA hospital and then...
murdered him, or went and committed suicide? 100%.
Well, the thing I don't understand, and, you know, it's been a while since I invoked any of my knowledge in psychology, but I thought he'd be under a 5150, which a 5150, he's not allowed to leave the hospital for 24 hours. Like, it's, if you have a person who is
maybe it's different for fucking
VA hospitals,
like the VA hospitals,
because they don't have enough funding. I mean, to me it made no sense when they're like, he left. I was like, they wouldn't let him leave. Like, when Sorensen said, why did they let him leave? I was like, they wouldn't legally.
Well, there's also a stigma in the military about, because that'll go on your permanent record if you're 5150, and that's a problem. Yeah, so maybe he didn't, I don't know, but I just think that dude's a lunatic. He lied, got out, and that dude's dead, bro.
You just think he's straight up dead. I figured he went to go find himself by just getting the fuck out of Dodge, but I don't know.
No, dude, the dude for 45 minutes has been talking about killing himself, and then got out, and then everyone's just like, yeah, he's getting out, like, to get out, like, to go find himself. Really, in one day, he cured all of his mental illness?
Well,
dude's dead.
It was weird how...
Dude's dead.
It was weird how Danny was straight up like... He's like, oh my god, they let him out. How am I going to find him? And Sipowicz was like, people who leave town technically don't want to be found.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, he's probably going to go to the thing this weekend, and then we're going to get him straightened out. And then he's like, no, he didn't. He's on a bus to crazy. And he's not going to get off until he hurts himself. And then he's like, okay, I accept that. And I'm like, what?
You're not going to see that dude because he put a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger.
Okay, well, we don't know if he has access to a shotgun. He had to steal a gun from a groper.
Yeah, because he can't, Kirk, he can't roll around on a bus with a shotgun. Like, what the fuck?
He can roll with a little piece. He can conceal carry.
Yeah, and then if he gets caught with dilute, oh, no.
Okay. He's also drinking on the job. He doesn't give a fuck about his job.
But he's not drinking while he's driving the bus.
Yeah, probably. He's not drinking while driving the bus.
Exactly. So he doesn't just have a fucking gun.
But look, all I know is if he's dead or not, he did say one of the funniest lines of the episode, which was, "That would be a weapon."
That's a pretty good one.
and the hilarious, he says he's been sticking it to everybody in the building. It's a big building.
What do you got in mind?
What do you got in mind? But yeah, I mean, I said it before we started. I don't know if I had already said it in the episode. I didn't like it. I didn't like this episode, mostly because of Joey.
It's a badly acted episode for sure.
Doris, I think she did what she was supposed to, so she's not a bad actress. It was just annoying that like everybody else didn't see what was happening.
I had no qualms with Doris's character. I thought like there are those weirdo Looney Tune characters in New York, and so she just kind of fit that mold. But yeah, it was what was more annoying is that like she basically told him like from the beginning it was her, like, and like normally maybe because Danny and the siblings were so distracted like they didn't see it. I don't know. Maybe that's what the lesson we're supposed to take away from this. They were so distracted by like all the shit going on, they missed it.
Almost like sometimes they're bad at their job. But yeah, it is what it is. I didn't like that character, so it kind of brought the whole thing down. But, you know, it's NYPD Blue for you. Anything else you wanted to say about the episode as a whole, or any specific thing before we wrap it up? I should look at my notes.
Medavoy and Martinez are not in this at all.
They're in the beginning. They're interviewing the exercise woman, yeah. And they run down for Fancy at the beginning, but that's about it.
Yeah, they're barely in it. They're not even used when Andy and Sorensen disappear.
Yeah, they could have been talking to some people.
Yeah, they're like not even like nothing.
Well, they got some free Mexican food and sip. And Medavoy was super excited for
some free like Thai food, Dominican food. It's not a lot of like good Mexican food around here.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com and where you find a podcast. We're on Instagram at AsherBrothersPodcast. We're on Twitter at AsherBrosPod, mostly just letting you know when new episodes are out. But if you interact, I will talk about the show with you. I have nothing else to do. Thanks for hanging out. See you next time. Thanks again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. NYPD Blue, the show, is on Hulu, but there are some episodes that are edited, so make sure to check out which are the extended episodes and find them somewhere else. There's a couple of books out there, True Blue, written about the first couple seasons, What Would Sipowitz Do, a collection of articles about the show, and Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. So during this episode, we made light of a character going through some very serious issues that are not funny whatsoever, and that's the issue of suicide, and I felt like it would be a horrible thing to leave this episode without mentioning that if you are dealing with suicidal thoughts or feelings, you are not alone out there, and if you could get to a phone and call someone, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Also, if you just Google suicide, there are many options out there for finding someone to talk to, for resources to help you. Please do not make a decision that affects the lives of not just you, but everyone around you. I know that it's a very serious thing to go out on, but it's not something to take lightly. And during this time, if you're having those thoughts, if you're having those feelings, please reach out to somebody, friend, family, or one of these helplines that are out there. The one I mentioned, 1-800-273-8255. That's in America, but there are lines for every country out there, so definitely take advantage of those opportunities. Have a good one. Wear a mask. Peace.